Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brower Show with your hosts, Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Ted Brower, and we are so glad that you are with us today. Austin, it's good to have you with me, and I'm glad to be with you. And I was just listening to Alex Jones, and he said basically that the New World Order is having a conniption fit because of Trump, and everybody's pulling their masks off. Even Glenn Beck is showing us who he really is, and Scott Hannity has just said that in the event that they take this election from Donald Trump, this appointment from him, that Sean Hannity said he will leave the Republican Party, and a lot of other people feel the same thing. Do you think they're going to try to steal it from him, Dawes?
I think they're going to do everything they can to try and prevent him from getting into office. He's raised too many red flags, he's brought up too many valid points, and he has too many people following him now. And he definitely is very solidified in a lot of the areas that he stands for. A lot of people still are questioning some of his motives, which that may still be. I mean, we don't know 100% of what he's going to do exactly, but there is one thing for sure. He's not an inside globalist. Even Gingrich said that a couple weeks ago, again, as we touched on, that he's not an insider. He is not in with the secret societies, and that's one of the biggest contributing factors to me, and the fact when you see this much push to try and stop Trump. I saw an article earlier. Now they're going to have some big Trump anti-Trump rally in New York now by Trump Tower that they're going to do to try and block him. I don't know what their whole point of doing all this is. And what's funny to me is all these people that are so anti-Trump and going out of their way to intentionally bash him. My question is always, so who are you voting for? Hillary? That's your other option? That's who you're voting for? So, I mean, if you're that ignorant, I guess that makes sense that you would be out trying to protest in the middle of the street from Trump being president. But yes, I think they're going to do everything they can to try and prevent him from getting in there.
Well, what's going on, and this is just obvious, number here's what happened with Sal Alinsky and the boys back in the communism back in the 60s. See, what people don't realize is that the 60s movement was not a movement by the Republican Party. It wasn't that, Austin. It was the Communist Party that really took hold of the United States back in the 60s. And also it was the far left if they weren't communists. These were just the people that were protesting, going against the government, and these were the ones that were the welfare state folks. And this is what happened. This is what happened with the McCarthyism back in the 50s, when McCarthy said that all of these Hollywood people were basically communists, and they were coming in to try to ruin the United States and to push the communist agenda. Well, now we see, 60 years later, that he was telling the truth, that everything he was saying was right. These are the same communists that came over from Russia and started the Bolshevik Revolution. These are the same groups of people that have been doing this and running the university systems. These are the same groups of people that have been co-opted at the universities to talk badly about the United States and promote rebellion in the United States. That's who's doing this. Last night, I was speaking to one of the top radio producers in America. She has a huge show that she's producer for, been for many years, has booked thousands and thousands of guests. And I asked her, I said, let me ask you a question. What the heck happened up in Chicago? And she started laughing, and she said, look, here's the deal. These aren't Republican proponents and people that are happy about Republicans and Donald Trump or the Republican Party in general. These are the active, radical communists that want to destroy the United States. The Republicans, in most part, are the Christians and the conservatives and those people who want to maintain law and order and who want to do what's right according to what the Bible says. These are not these people. These are the bad people, the Satanists, the Luciferians, the ones that want to invoke a riot and destroy things no matter what the cost. They will start killing people at Trump rallies. They will start rioting at Trump rallies. They will start picketing at Trump rallies. This is the radical left wing that has taken over the government of the United States that is now showing us who they really are. These are the ones that are promoting Bernie Sanders and the Wicked Witch of Washington, Hillary Clinton. The truth of the matter is Bernie Sanders, as awful as he is, at least he tells the truth. Every time Hillary Clinton runs her mouth, she lies. And a lot of the stuff that Bernie Sanders has said about the big banks and Wall Street is true. The problem is what he wants to do, imposing communism throughout the United States, it simply won't work. Russia has found that out. China has found that out. So the sad part about all of this, Austin, yes, they will do anything they have to destroy Trump. Yes, they will riot. Yes, they will murder people. Yes, people are going to die because the New World Order is in full-blown panic mode, and they are scared to death of Donald Trump because he is not one of their pedophiles. He's not one of their gay boys. He's not one of the boys that like to, you know, have sex with little boys. He's not a big drug user. I don't think he uses any drugs or drinks alcohol at all. I mean, he's that person who they're most terrified of, the person that actually says what he's going to do and does what he's going to say. So that's why I'm supporting Trump. Plus, we talked about this yesterday in detail. Why in the world are they running so scared? You wait until we get closer and closer to the GOP convention. The GOP is going to do everything it possibly can not to give this nomination to Trump because they want to prevent people from attacking them, from rioting, from picking, from protesting, and all the above. But yet, here we are as Christians and conservatives. We've had to endure 8 years of Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Sorto, a man who basically came from Kenya and who lied about everything in his whole life, and every one of his personal records were sealed. And yet, we still have to tolerate this nonsense, and we never rioted, we never picketed, we never did anything. We did, you know, do some stuff with ATF, you know, out there in Arizona, but that's turned into a big disaster new because Obama, through his attorney general, is now arresting all the people that were protesting for that. So, guys, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get real ugly. What's your next story, Oz?
This is interesting. You're talking about the universities. The state of Tennessee has had enough of this nonsense as far as the muzzling of what's going on at universities now, and they put a bill in now which will ensure universities in Tennessee and colleges in Tennessee are powerless to punish students on the basis of making an offensive comment. As you know, a lot of universities now, they have safe zones and other things they deem, you know, you can't say or you can't do in these safe zones. You can't say anything negative. You can't tell somebody the truth. You tell somebody, well, I like Trump for this reason, they put their hands over their ears and run away crying. They say, you're offending me, you're offending me. I have to get to a safe zone right now. You're offending me. I can't deal with this anymore. And we've basically built these universities now, all of them around the United States have dealt with this, and they're putting up with it, and they're just one big, giant baby school is what it is. Nobody wants to hear anything. Nobody wants to do anything. Everybody just wants to live in their little safe zone. The proposal now, which is called the Tennessee Student Free Speech Protection Act, would ban institutions from creating systems that allow students to report incidences with the expectation of disciplinary action unless it involves a genuine threat or true harassment. So obviously, if something is happening that needs to be addressed, it still will be addressed. But what's happening now is they're calling these things now, it says it prohibits schools from punishing students for microaggressions, which refers to incidences where people take offense to subtle or even misunderstood comments, what I referred to a minute ago, where you just say something, if somebody doesn't like it or they don't want to hear, they say, oh, you're being microaggressive towards me. I'm telling the dean, we're making sure you get suspended. And a lot of students have gotten suspended. Some students have gotten expelled from this nonsense now. And the state representative who put this through, he said the best kind of educational environment is one where there's a lot of controversy and conversation about various types of issues, and we encourage students to speak up. That was Representative Martin Daniel, who's a Republican, who introduced the bill. He said, we want our students to be prepared for the real world, and those classes of speech that might be considered microaggression might just happen to happen in the real world. The move represents another crackdown against campus crybabies and safe space zones where students are banned from making offensive comments, and a university mechanism for censoring speakers they deem to be controversial. If they can get this to go through in Tennessee, it will pass into law on July 1st of 2016 this year. So that would be interesting to see what happens. I will be following that to see how it goes.
Well, the law will probably be appealed. They'll probably try to send it to the United States Supreme Court. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. This deals with First Amendment rights. A couple years ago, we had a quarterback at Florida State University, my alma mater. I graduated from there three times back in 78, 79, and 80. And we had a quarterback named Jameis Winston. Now, a lot of people don't like Jameis Winston. I got that, okay? I'm not whatever. But during one of the weeks between games, he actually was in the student union, and he said a bunch of really off-color stuff about women and a bunch of other stuff. Well, he was turned into the campus because he made a hate speech. You remember this, Austin?
Yeah,
he said bad things. Well, they actually suspended this guy. He was the Heisman Trophy quarterback, won the national championship the year before for us, and they suspended him an entire game against Clemson, who was one of the top teams in the country, one of the hardest teams we had to play last year, year and a half, 2 years ago. I couldn't believe it that they actually suspended him. And because of speech, he didn't do anything. He didn't hit anybody. He didn't threaten anybody. He was just talking dirty is what he was doing, and he shouldn't have been doing that. And they said he was a bad example, so they were going to suspend him for a full game. Many of the liberal people on the university staff wanted him expelled from the institution and kicked out of college totally. See, this is what it's turned into. We've got a bunch of crybabies that want us to have protection everywhere they go. And this is the biggest problem that we have. Let's go back to the Supreme Court pick that Obama has pushed on us right now and who this guy is and how unbelievably anti-gun he is. President Obama, this is, by the way, from the Union Bound, from the WND, and it's Jack Kasil. He wrote this. He goes, we are told Barack Obama has chosen to nominate a United States Appeals Court judge, Merrick Garland, to the Supreme Court. We are told he is a moderate, but we know how that works. The other moderates on the high court somehow managed to march their way lockstep the official designated liberal position on every single major case. Can anyone name an exception? But that's the least of my objections, whatever the merits. Garland served as Deputy Attorney General Jamie Gorelick's principal deputy during the two most corrupt years in political history, the years leading up to Bill Clinton's reelection in 1996, and that service alone should kill his candidacy. He says, although Garland has no known connection with Flight 800, which was shot down, many people believe, by a missile investigation, it happened during his watch, which his boss oversaw, is unprecedented misdirection. In my newest book on the subject, TWA, The Crash, The Cover-Up, and The Conspiracy, it spells out Gorelick's role in all the unseemingly detailed information. The book will probably be published before the crash's 20th anniversary in July. This guy was involved in TWA, Flight 800. He was also involved in the Oklahoma City bombing area, all the stuff that was going on with that. This guy is just really, really bad news. He's anti-freedom, anti-weapons, anti-everything. And of course, this is who we would expect that Barack Obama would actually put on the Supreme Court. So I hope and pray, Austin, that the Republicans don't cave in and allow this guy to be nominated to the Supreme Court. He should never, ever be there. There was a guy who knew his name was Robert Bork back in the 80s. I believe it was George Bush or either President Reagan was trying to put him on. He probably would have been one of the best Supreme Court justices in the history, but they wouldn't do it because he was, quote, too conservative. Well, this guy's not trying to be conservative. This guy's as far left as it goes. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, he is. I read a lot of stuff on him, and he's definitely about as anti-gun as he gets. I mean, I would have no question about it if he got into the Supreme Court and actually was able to get in completely. He would start banning everything, in my opinion. The first thing would be reenacted the assault weapons ban. You know, that would be the first thing, and then it would just go downhill from there. You could forget about any further legality as far as trying to keep Class 3 weapons and all that. All that stuff would phase out. They probably wouldn't outright ban them to begin with, but they would definitely probably stop any further Class 3 weapons from being manufactured for civilian usage or applying for any more tax stamps. They do the same thing they did in 1986, but all the way across the boards. I read some stuff on that as well, that he's really against any of the Class 3 weapons, and he was really, really happy when the 1986 ban and it got placed for the machine guns for post samples. Well, what's interesting enough about this as well, the good thing is you talked about yesterday, is it is an election year. So the Republicans are going to have to be some really, really blithering idiots to allow this guy in and really accept this. So the best thing to do for all of us right now is contact any type of local representation in your state and up and let them know this is not somebody we want to allow in there. Because I don't think, as of right now, Obama cannot unilaterally put him in by himself, can he?
He cannot. Unless he declares some state of emergency with the United States in which they have to put them in, then he can do that. Leaves a wiggle room in the Constitution for that. But that would be something that would be, of course, could be appealable, I believe. I don't know. I know that's happened before, Austin, but they pretty much decided back in the 90s that they weren't going to allow an incumbent president in his last year of office, to play Supreme Court justices in. And remember, the man who just died in these very strange circumstances out there in Texas, Scalia, he really was an ardent supporter of the Second Amendment. He was a big-time hunter, belonged to that hunt club. And now they want to put this super, super liberal in again. What was interesting to me, Coach Dabemeyer sent out an email today that he did, and I didn't even realize this. He said there's like, right now there's like four Catholics on the Supreme Court and four Jewish folks on the Supreme Court. And this last guy that's being nominated is also Jewish. So we're going to have five Jews on the Supreme Court and four Catholics if this guy were to get in. And Dabemeyer said, what about Protestants? I mean, why don't we have any Protestants on the Supreme Court? I mean, the bulk of the population in this country is Protestant, but we don't have any representation from that base. He did an excellent article. You can go to his website. It's only like a two-minute video that he did on it. He goes, it doesn't make any sense to me. He goes, the Jewish folks are, you know, less than a couple percent of the population, yet now half of the Supreme Court justices are Jewish, and another one, it's unequal representation across the groups. And you know what, Austin? I never really thought about that, but he's right. And the sad part about it is that, you know, we're not having equal representation here. Why don't we have Protestants on there? I mean, they can be Protestant blacks or Protestant Hispanics. I don't care what they are. Just Protestants. You know what I'm saying? Somebody on there that's going to be a biblical evangelical Christian and stop some of this nonsense. So it's crazy stuff when you start thinking about all that kind of stuff. Okay. What the Russian withdrawal from Syria means and what it does not. This is from Brandon Turberville. It says, those who are both pro-Assad and anti-Assad have all shared their opinions, which may even on the pro-Assad, pro-Russian side, opposing the Russian scale down of the military involvement of the Russians. They really don't understand what it is. Excuse me, this was a summary that I read that wasn't written very well. I'm going to fix that right now. I'm going to the actual email, the actual address. With the recent announcement by Vladimir Putin that Russia is beginning a withdrawal of specific military personnel and equipment from Syria on Tuesday, March 15th, the corporate media has been on fire with speculation that Russia is evacuating the country, retreating and giving up on its military objectives. Indeed, the Western press is presenting the Russian announcement as total withdrawal and a quick move out of the door. But those of you who are pro-Assad and anti-Assad have all shared their opinions on what's actually happening. Despite the presentation of the Russian announcement as a total pullout from Syria, coming with everything except pictures of the Syrian civilians hanging onto helicopters and airplanes being dumped at the sea, the withdrawal is merely the reduction of specific military personnel and equipment. The result withdrawal is not really a withdrawal in the sense that most readers would understand it. Instead, it is being presented by Western media outlets and for propaganda purposes. So the reason is that he's doing this, since is most likely, he says, the Russian announcement was more politically based than anything else. For instance, one aspect of the announcement, particularly since it coincides with the new ceasefire agreement and the United Nations peace talks, is that it allows Russia to appear as the most rational actor in the fight, on the side most committed to actual peace in Syria. This has been Russia's methodology since the beginning of its involvement in the crisis, where the United States went forced to go toe-to-toe with Russia politically. So here's the thing, guys. Apparently, Russia is not pulling everything out of Syria. It's just reducing the people that are there, and it could easily put those back in again. What do you think about that, Austin? What do you think Russia's true intent is? What do you think the United States' true intent is? Or should we even be there at all and just let these guys settle the stuff themselves?
You know, that's always been a big question that gets brought up a lot, you know, as far as with libertarians, with Republicans, with Democrats across the board, as far as why do we always have to meddle in the affairs of other countries? And I've always kind of been on the same approach as Ron Paul and George Washington in that factor, is I think unless we have a direct threat or something that needs to be addressed directly with a country, I really don't think we need to be invading them unless it's a significant issue. The problem is we see so many times now where the United States uses blatant excuses to invade a country, and then we find out later all it was for a regime change so we could overthrow the country and put a Federal Reserve Bank in. That's happened in close to a dozen countries over there now. So the truth is something that I don't think is very is given out freely by the United States. There's always an underlying motive. And with Russia, I honestly don't doubt there's another motive either with them. I know a lot of times you've talked about the pipeline, and so I think there's definitely something going on under the table. I think there's some kind of either transaction or some deal that's being made. I think we're going to find out more in the next couple months. But other than that, in my opinion, I think we need to stay out of these countries unless we find that there's a very serious threat or a serious attack that happened directly related to that country. Not like Iraq, where there was weapons of mass destruction, Saddam Hussein did this, and, you know, all this other nonsense, and then we go there and everything was complete and total lie, and all it was to throw Hussein out so we could put a Federal Reserve Bank in Iraq and control all the assets of the country. So yeah, I think we need to stay out of most countries, in my opinion.
Well, I feel the same way. I'm not an interventionist. I mean, the truth of the matter is these countries have been fighting. I mean, we have troops in close to 200 countries now. It's ridiculous. I mean, that's literally almost every country on the planet. And why in the world do we think we can empire build and run these huge deficits and maintain this giant military infrastructure globally? Sad part about it is, you know, that's the one thing I disagree with Donald Trump on. He thinks that the United States military has gotten weak. I don't believe that whatsoever. I believe what they've done is they've stopped funding the United States military as much, and they've started funding mercenaries because there's not as much political blowback from that. I believe that the mercenaries can make anywhere from $200,000 to $300,000 a year each, and that's all being funded through our black ops, and that's why they've scaled down on the production of the U.S. But the truth of the matter is we've got a lot of weapons systems out there right now, like the F-35 and things that just aren't necessary, that the F-16 can outperform. And so we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars and trillions of dollars on these weapons that we don't need, because we already have our space-based technology weapons, which are bigger than anything else that's going to be out there in the future. So I disagree with Trump on that. I don't think we need to be. I think he's pandering to the military-industrial complex when he says that. I don't believe we need to increase taxes or increase spending on military at all. And I think believe we need to scale back on the military, keep it strong for defending the United States. I got that. Maybe stay in a few of the Western allies nations like Germany or maybe in the Philippines, and just so we could have a placement. So we have landing strips, those types of things for deployment. But as far as being all over the world like this, Austin, I think it's absolutely stupid.
Yeah, that's one thing I was going to add on is I think if you look at the budget, which I did last year, I did not look at this current budget. I looked at the 15 budget when it was getting proposed in 2014. And the amount of money that we spend on the military is insane. I mean, it's an inordinate amount of money. And I think we already spend plenty of money in the military as it is right now. We don't need to spend more. We don't need to make it bigger. We need to make it more efficient. We need to get our troops out of a lot of countries that we don't need to be in. Like you said, where we have specific landing strips, where we have bases, we have places that actually need to be, and they're for effective fighting maneuvers in areas that we could really utilize. I don't see a bit of problem with that. But as far as being stretched so thin like we are right now, and like you said, blowing cash just all over the place, like on the F-22, which ended up being around $400 to $500 million a plane, it's just stupid. It's just wasteful money, and there's no reason to put that kind of cash in this stuff right now. When, I mean, here's the thing: if the country was absolutely booming, GDP was through the roof, the economy was the best it ever was, we had absolutely no debt whatsoever, we were printing our own currency that was actually backed by gold reserves that we had, and we wanted to go out and expand our military, build more stuff, to that point, I really wouldn't see an issue with it. But when you see the deficit that we're racking up year after year after year after year, and we keep funding more money into the military, it's really, really wasteful. I mean, I've spoken to this before, but I'll remind everybody about this again. And everybody that's in the military will know this, and they agree with me. I had a buddy that was in the Air Force, and he said when they would come through once a year and they would do inventory control on what tools they had in maintenance. He worked in a lot of the maintenance areas with the big carrier planes. He said the guy came in, one of the officers came in and said, dude, you got to get all these tools out of here. You got to dump them. We can't have them in here. He said, what do you mean? We got like, you know, 50, 60, 70 tools right here. They're all brand new. They're still in the wrapper. He goes, that's the point. He goes, if they come through and do inventory, they're going to see we have a surplus of all this, and they're actually going to cut back our budget next year for more equipment, and we don't want that at all. So you need to take all the stuff and you need to dump them. And he said he got the list, and they took everything out, and he said, you know, a big, giant crescent wrench. You know, what they paid for it was like $350. A screwdriver was like $120. All this stuff was wasteful spending, and they told them to go out in the back and dump it all in the dumpster and get it out of there before they did inventory. Obviously, the tools didn't go in the dumpster. But this is what one reference that I do agree with that Trump keeps bringing up is he said we have to stop wasteful spending. We have to get accurate, you know, budgets of what's going on, and we have to make good deals. And what he's referring to is that is not just paying the most amount of money to the biggest, most expensive bidder because one of our friends in the government is friends with some other guy that's in the military industrial complex, so he gives him the contract because they've been buddies back in the Bohemian Grove all the way back to Yale. That's where all this is stemming from now. Nobody wants to bring this up. They're giving contracts, billion-dollar contracts to these guys because they were old frat buddies at Yale or some other school. And that's what's happening now. That's why we're spending trillions of dollars every year in wasteful, wasteful, wasteful spending that don't need to be spent in a lot of areas. They need to be cut back drastically.
No, that's I agree with you, Austin. And the crazy thing about this is that, you know, Trump's trying to point this out, that these deals are bad. I mean, it's just, you know, I remember that one movie, Independence Day, back in the 90s with Jeff Goldblum, and I remember the aliens were coming, and I believe they're doing a remake of that, and it's going to be released here pretty quickly. And what's crazy about that movie was the guy was in this bottom of this bunker, in this alien bunker with all of these Roswell aliens and all of these, you know, beings from these other planets and this spaceship from another planet and all of this stuff. And then the guy goes, well, where'd all the money, the president says, well, where'd all the money come from to pay for all this? He goes, you don't really think that they pay $500 for a toilet seat, do you? Okay, that's exactly right. And that's exactly what they're doing. Or $300 for a hammer. They don't. They take that money and they put it in other black ops projects. They just don't tell the government. Because even the government can't be that wasteful, son. They're doing it and putting it in other things in other locations. And that's why they don't want that budget to be cut back. Here we go. This is from Sputnik News. In a new campaign of budget bolstering and fear-mongering, the Pentagon has warned of impending attacks on U.S. satellites by Russia and China. Adversaries are developing kinetic directed energy and cyber tools. This is the space-based plasma weapons and cyber tools to deny, degrade, and destroy our space capabilities, Air Force General John Hayton said of the Air Force Space Command. By the way, we have an Air Force Space Command, just in case you want to know that. You can actually look it up. Told the U.S. House Armed Service Strategic Forces Subcommittee on Tuesday. Hayden was campaigning for a new Air Force project group whose sole purpose would be to protect the U.S. space assets against foreign aggression. On Tuesday, he warned the U.S. Global Positioning System satellites are vulnerable to attack. Again, what he wants to do, he wants more money for his space-based weapons platforms and protection of these devices. So he has to come across to this committee saying he needs these hundreds of billions or billions of dollars, hundreds of millions or billions of dollars of information and money to be going into this space-based weaponry, but he doesn't want to come out and say, oh, it's to protect against this or against this, that, or so we can lay siege to entire continents with our weapons or our kinetic weapons. This is the kinetic weapons they were talking about, are the ones that supposedly were dropped on China last year and on Japan, where they actually blew up that place in Japan, but actually they dropped those kinetic weapons over in China and blew up those factories. And those are like logs that are made out of titanium that are on space-based weapons platforms. And what they do, they bring them in at 20, 30, 40,000 miles an hour. Who knows how fast they run? I don't know. I'd have to do the physics on that. And when they impact the planet and hit the Earth, they have this giant explosion from the kinetic energy being released. And so it's crazy how they do all of this stuff, officers. When things come in at huge speeds like that and their objects are that large, they can just cause complete and total devastation very, very quickly. What's your next story?
Oh, yeah. And then this is funny because I get a lot of phone calls in the office and people, you know, they bring up the fact that their doctors are always trying to push them new drugs all the time. They'll go in there with an issue with this and they immediately, you know, the doctors, of course, everybody knows this, they don't try to help them with diet, exercise, supplementation, any of that, better food. It's always another medication. And the problem is most of the medications have side effects that have to be addressed with another medication. So a lot of times you go in for a single issue and within 6 months you're on 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different medications. Now this is interesting. Now there's proof. Doctors who get company cash tend to prescribe more brand name meds. Doctors have long disputed that the payments they receive from pharmaceutical companies have no relationship to how they prescribe drugs. A ProPublica analysis has found for the first time that doctors who receive payments from the medical industry do indeed tend to prescribe drugs differently than their colleagues who don't. And the more money they receive on average, the more brand name medications they prescribe. They matched records on payment from pharmaceutical and medical device makers in 2014 with corresponding data on doctors' medication choices and Medicare's prescription drug program. Doctors who receive money from drug and device makers prescribed a higher percentage of brand-name drugs overall than doctors who did not, our analysis showed. Indeed, doctors who received industry payments were 2 to 3 times as likely to prescribe brand-name drugs at exceptionally higher rates as others in their specialty. Doctors who received over $5,000 from companies in 2014 typically had the highest brand-name prescribing percentages. And a doctor in here goes, he goes, it again confirms the prevailing wisdom that there is a relationship between payments and brand-name prescribing, said Dr. Aaron Kelsman. And this is interesting because, again, we all knew this. This wasn't new information at all. But I wanted to reaffirm this and let people know that what we're saying is accurate, that these doctors get massive amounts of money from these pharmaceutical companies. That's why when you go in, you tell them, hey, I want to start on some HGH stimulate. Is it okay to do that? It'll help my blood pressure get down. It's been working really good. The doctor says, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't come off your blood pressure medication. This is why they do it a lot of times. They want to keep their numbers up. They want to keep more people on these medications. That way they get bigger kickbacks and they get bigger funds. So they always have a different medication for every problem you have. This is why they prescribe them so much. This is why the pharmaceutical industry is such a massive billion-dollar company. Companies, I should say. This is exactly why.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who's a medical doctor. He also has a show on GCN, and he told me that he was contacted by the pharmaceutical companies, and he was told that he wasn't prescribing enough of their drugs. And they actually have records. You know, they can actually go into the database of the pharmacology, apparently in the states. They can figure out, because, you know, these are all prescriptions. All these drugs are regulated, so they can find out who wrote what for what. And so they told him that he wasn't selling enough of their drugs, their cholesterol medicines, and all the other stuff. And he told me he wasn't going to do that. So then they told him they weren't going to allow him to have hospital privileges and all kinds of other things because he wasn't playing the game. But if you do play the game and you're putting out hundreds and hundreds of prescriptions every year, they may bring you in to a conference in Vegas or a conference in Hawaii or a conference in Beijing or a conference in Zurich, Switzerland, or someplace else. And they'll pay your entire way to go. They may bring you in as a keynote speaker and give you a $50,000 check. And this is how they get away with doing this. They may take you to one of the best golf clubs in the world, golf courses in the world, and they may comp you a set of golf clubs. And that's how they get away with all of this stuff, Austin. And that's why they're able to push and push and push these people to put out all of these drugs. And the problem is, it's systemic. And that's why the other day when you brought up that story about the AMA wanted to stop the advertising of drugs on TV, I just laughed and I told you, absolutely not. That's never going to happen. There's no way that's going to happen. They're not going to allow that to happen because they get too much money from doing that and they're part of this corrupt system. And this system has to be completely and totally overhauled. And these doctors, especially the ones who own clinics, who send people to their own clinics, and where they get away with that is they'll set them under a corporate name, a corporate whatever, and they get paid dividends, and they don't have any, quote, physical ownership of this clinic, but yet they'll run these people through the MRIs, or through the x-rays, or through these different diagnostic labs, and they own these labs. And so they run their own people through the labs, and it's supposed to be illegal, but they found loophole ways to do all of this. Here's another article. Referendum poll in the United Kingdom predicted to be the first country to leave the EU. This is the Activist Post. The date is set. On June 23rd, the citizens of the United Kingdom will vote to decide whether or not their country will remain in the European Union. Now remember, they've still got the British pound. They never adopted the euro. Over the years, there have been growing concerns over the country's membership of the EU due to the burdensome regulations and membership fees that cost billions and provide little in return. On top of that, the recent migrant crisis has convinced many UK citizens that it's time to take back the control of their borders. Think about what they're saying. They've lost control of the borders to the EU. What do you think, Oz? You think they're going to vote to stay in or stay out?
I don't know. I mean, UK's always been fairly independent in what they've done. Like you said, they never got rid of the pound. And it's still, to my knowledge, it's still one of the strongest currencies against the United States dollar, isn't it?
It is. It's not as strong as it was at one time. And they do take the euro in England in a lot of different stores. They'll take both currencies and they'll make change in both currencies. That's the biggest problem. They may take your change in your euro, but they may give you pounds back. Sometimes they'll make change in it too. Now here's another interesting one from Breitbart. Israel to raise the height of Egypt border fence to block Muslim migrants. Think about this. Israel's our biggest, staunchest ally, supposedly in the Middle East. Mossad has been involved in a whole bunch of the false flags that have occurred globally and in our country. We know that. I mean, it's just, it's common knowledge now, including 9/11. The research is out on that. But here's Breitbart saying that Israel is set to raise the height of its fence along the Egyptian border in an effort to keep out migrants, defense officials said Tuesday. The army said that a series of additional prevention methods will be put into place to reduce the number of illegal border crossings. The current fence, which was built between 2010 and 2014, has been largely successful in preventing migrant incursions. However, in 2014, only 14 people made it across the border compared to with 12,000 in 2010. So they had 14 people make it over 2014, and now in 2015 they've had 200 migrants make it over the fence, often with the use of ladders. So now they're going to raise the height up. But we're told by the Israeli-controlled Congress in the United States through AIPAC, which controls our Congress and voting blocks it, and if you don't believe that, you can just do the research on it, that we are not allowed to have a border fence or a wall with Mexico. And what people don't realize is that, you know, when Bill Clinton signed all of this stuff and George Bush signed all of this stuff to make the United States North American Free Trade Union, they've wanted to get rid of all of these border crossings, but yet Israel maintains this. Most of the countries in Central Europe now, Southeast Europe, are putting up, you know, fences and border crossings to prevent people, the migrants, from coming through. But the United States is supposed to have open borders. Now Donald Trump says no more open borders, and suddenly they want to riot and kill people in the U.S. What do you think, Oz?
Well, I do find it interesting that, I mean, why wouldn't they want more Muslims in their country? Everybody loves Muslims, especially the way they act and treat everybody around them. There aren't Muslims. I mean, why wouldn't they want more? It's interesting. This article related that. Two wealthy Texas Muslims have been found guilty of slavery now and have been basically extradited out of the United States and banned from coming back now. They were found guilty of engaging in forced labor and owning slaves. Hassan al-Hamnoub and Zan al-Sassoum pleaded guilty to crimes of holding a person against their will and forced labor. They tried to convince the judge that their actions were acceptable because their prophet Muhammad, the creator of the religion of Islam, kept slaves of his own. Therefore, any punishment that they receive would be considered Islamophobic. So District Judge Orlando Garcia basically thought they needed a lesson in law, and he said there's no chance you guys are going to be going to a prison because you're just going to get out in a year or two on good behavior, so you're going to do the exact same thing, so I'm going to ban you. You're going to be completely kicked out of the United States, go back to your origin country. Bans them from the country, and before they left, he orders that they have to pay each of the victims a sum of $60,000 a person to compensate their efforts to the two women that they held as slaves. The problem was they believed it started when Al-Hammam, he applied for visas for two individuals, one from Indonesia and one from Bangladesh. He claimed in the application that the two would be paid as housekeepers, and the fact that he paid them nothing. This is kind of sad here. And this right here, guys, the reason why I'm telling you this is because I want you to understand this isn't in Iraq. This isn't in Afghanistan. This isn't in Syria. This is in Texas. Texas, the big free state, Texas. This is what was going on over there. According to the complaint, two women were living as slaves in absolute squalor. They were provided no toilet paper and minimal amounts of food. Additionally, no television was provided. They were provided no clean linens, no furniture or books. They were allowed only a few blankets and pillows to be used on the floor. They could not have any cell phones or possess any money. They were only allowed to eat from the family's leftovers, and they were forbidden to use the family's bathroom to relieve themselves. And apparently, after a while, somebody called in on it, and it got reported. And once they found out what was going on there, the two individuals were arrested. And the sad part about this is that when they're in front of the judge, as I mentioned a second ago, they're not remorseful. They're not sorry. They're not like, well, I know this is a poor decision. We shouldn't have had slaves. We're sorry. They sit there and try and basically justify their actions and say, well, Muhammad had slaves. This is normal behavior, Judge. If you say anything about this or do anything to us, you're Islamophobic. And this just proves my point. This is happening in the United States now. This is not acceptable behavior. This is not something we need to be okay with. This is something we need to address and make sure this does not continue to happen here. And that's why I brought this article up. Even though it's pretty weird, I wanted everybody to realize what's going on in this great country still.
Well, you know, it's just, it's crazy. Here's another article from the Activist Post. A former head of a major Irish bank has been extradited from the U.S. and brought before the Dublin District Court to face several charges stemming from the bank's role in the 2008 financial crisis. David Drum, former chief executive of the Irish Anglo Bank from 2005 to 2008, had been arrested in Boston in October 2015 and originally attempted to fight extradition. But he recently withdrew the objection and was returned to Ireland early on Monday. Drummond faces 33 charges in Ireland, which echoes Iceland's unprecedented move to hold its bankers criminally accountable for their role that led to the country's financial meltdown. Though Drummond predictably denied everything, his charges include fraud, forgery, misleading management reporting, unlawful lending, falsifying documents and false accounting linked to the financial transactions prior to the collapse of Anglo, according to the Irish Times. This is what we need to do, Austin. We need to take these bankers that have done all of this and have lied and lied and lied and lied and lied for decades and put these guys in jail. And back with the savings and loan scandal with Reagan, back in the 80s, you don't remember this, son, but Reagan had them put in jail. I forgot how many, but I'm pretty sure it was in the hundreds of people were put in jail for the savings and loan disaster that happened back in the 80s. Now, they didn't get, you know, 20, 30 years in prison, but they were all slapped on the wrist, thrown out of the financial industry, and said, no more, no more, no more. You guys aren't doing this anymore. And see, we have to have that. That way you'll get their attention, but because they hide underneath a corporate banner, they feel as though because the corporation did it and not them, that they're not personally responsible. That has to stop. What do you think?
Yeah, that definitely has to stop because there's too many loopholes now in that entire system. There's too many ways, like you just mentioned, to get away from that and saying, well, you know, the bank, the corporation, it was involved in that. I was not personally liable. I can't be held responsible for it. And these guys have found it. They found these loopholes to get through, and, you know, they've made it available for this to be done on purpose. They want to completely collapse the entire banking structure eventually. That's the globalist agenda. I was explaining that to somebody who was in the office the other day. I said, this entire financial system that we're accustomed to here, I said, it was never designed to be long-term. We may thought it was designed to be long-term, but they never wanted to be long-term because they have to completely rid of the system of all physical currency. It has to go to a global monetary system with it completely cashless. That's why I mentioned again earlier yesterday about the PayPal commercial. If you're reading Revelations, the only way to make that work as far as the mark of the beast is to already have the entire cashless system in place, working functionally, and have no ways around it. This is exactly what the banking system is doing now. They're figuring out all these loopholes to rob people, to steal and plunder everybody's savings. Now the Federal Reserve's trying to put in the negative interest loans. They've discussed that in multiple countries, including ours now. So this is the way it's headed, and that's why the system, as far as that they're in, is going to collapse eventually. It's not sustainable, but then once it collapses, they're going to bring about the cashless society in even fuller force. So it's definitely something that we're going to see in our lifetime. It's very interesting to watch right now.
No, it's a Ponzi scheme. And the problem with the Ponzi scheme, sooner or later you run out of investor suckers who are going to throw their money into the deal. And the United States now being $20 trillion on the books in debt, over $100 trillion funded liabilities in debt, and, you know, $2 quadrillion in debt. I mean, these numbers are mind-boggling. And so they can't do this. They have to reset the system. And the only way they can reset the system is they've got to turn around and they've got to reboot it up with a cashless society. This is exactly what the book of Revelation said was going to happen, and this is exactly where they're going to go. Yesterday, Harrison, who's taking economics right now, your 16-year-old brother, about to be 17 next month, in his second year of college with a 4.0, completing 58 collegiate hours by the end of his junior year in high school, he asked me today, because, Dad, tell me about Keynesian economics. And I said, that's an easy one. I said, well, he says, can you give it to me like in two or three sentences? I said, yeah. Keynesian economics assumes that you have to have continual growth or inflation in the economy in order to have the economy grow. because they understand that you've got to borrow money from the Fed, so you have to, but they want you to have about a 5 to 7% inflation rate to maintain a good stable economy, because you have to inflate the currency 5 to 7%, which means it'll decrease the value by that amount, because you have to continually borrow money from the Federal Reserve, which cannot be paid back. So it bases the entire premise on a stable economy on inflating the economy through fiat paper. And I said, it doesn't work. Keynesian economics doesn't work at all. It's a disaster. And I said, and that's why when we tried to ask questions about it when I was in the MBA program, they couldn't answer the questions, because there's no way to answer those questions, Austin, because any way you look at it, it's a Ponzi scheme. There's no other way out of it. You know? Now, here's an interesting article. This is a bombshell. Larry Silverstein, who basically told them to pull World Trade Center 7, he asked, they've got him on videotape saying, we decided to pull it, which is a demo term, which means they're going to implode the building in September 11th, 2001. This is incredible. This is from Veterans Today. This is the late example of what's going on with Silverstein. Silverstein says that the new World Trade Center, which replaced the one now, he famously confessed to demolishing on 9/11. We've got the designs, and the first design meeting was on April 2000, and the construction began shortly after 2002. Did you hear what he said? He said that it was over a year before 9/11, they already had designed a new building for Building 7 on the one that they decided to pull during 9/11, and they took it out the same day they took the trade towers out, and he knew about it in advance and had already developed new designs and was able to start construction on the new one a little over a year later. Is that crazy or what, Oz?
Yeah, it is. That it was, we knew that whole thing with Building 7 was complete and totally set up. Nobody would report on it in the media. And one thing I wanted to add on to what you were talking about as far as with Keynesian economics and inflation, I had another friend of mine that has a job with Lockheed Martin, and they have a 401k there, and he's been putting money in his 401k, a lot of it actually, lately. And I've told him, you know, I really wouldn't put a ton of money in that right now, just because the market is so volatile. There's really no reason to do that. I said, you'd be much better off putting it in physical gold right now instead of stuffing more money in your 401k. I know they'll match it, but I said, don't just completely give up on it. I understand that. I said, but, you know, don't be funneling all this cash into it. And so then I found out the other day that they allow you to use the 401k in stock market exchanges to basically essentially bet on it. And you can't take the money out, but you can use it in stock market trade. And he's been doing that, and he's almost got a bunch of money the other day and then had to pull it out because something's about to crash. And I didn't realize he was doing this until I talked to him the other day. And I said, well, how much money do you have in your 401k now? He's like, well, I got like 14 grand in there. I said, so you're gambling your entire 401k right now in the stock market, pretty much the most volatile Ponzi scheme system in the world that we pretty much know within the next 6 months to 2 or 3 years is going to completely collapse. Well, he goes, and this is so funny, this is how they trained him in college to think. He said, if I leave my money in the 401k, I will lose money in it because of inflation. Now, I'm not saying that that's a completely untrue statement, what he's saying, because yes, if you put $5,000 in there and you let it sit for 10 years and you gain no interest on it, that $5,000 is going to buy less. But what you can do now, and I tried to explain this to him, and he just completely blew it off, you can roll over your 401k into gold and silver now through self-directed IRAs with a trust company. I've seen a few companies do that online now. I've never been involved in it because I've never had a 401k, but I do know it's possible. And he said, oh, well, I don't want to do that. I'd rather, you know, try and make some money in the stock market. I said, well, what are you going to do when you lose all your money in the stock market? I've had like 3 friends of mine now lose tens of thousands of dollars in the stock market in the blink of an eye. Oh, that's not going to happen. I know what I'm doing, this and that. Okay, do what you want. Don't really care. I'm not going to argue with you. If you want to lose all your money, lose all your money. It's not my problem.
And, of course, we're not giving you any financial advice as far as what to do with your investments. We're letting you know.
Not at all.
If you get a financial planner, make sure they're a good one. Oh, by the way, we're almost out of time again, and we forgot to talk about the website. Our website is healthmasters.com. We do the latest nutraceutical products, have the highest quality supplements in the world as far as I'm concerned, same products that me and my family take. Same people, you know, if you go to the website, healthmasters.com, we have the Healthy Blood Sugar Protocol by Doug Hagman. We've got a Healthy Joint Protocol with Dave Hodges. We've got the Healthy Immune Protocol, all on the front page of the website. And one other quick announcement, unless the plans change, I will be on Coast to Coast next Thursday evening, at 1 to 3 a.m. Eastern Time, or Friday morning at 1 to 3 a.m. Okay, that'll be the, so it's Thursday night, Friday morning. I'll be on for 2 hours on Coast to Coast with George Norrie. And so we're going to have fun with that. So that should be a huge show, big response last time we were on Coast to Coast 2 years ago. And of course, we're always on with Doug Hagman and Dave Hodges. And so we have our own show to listen to also. But the Coast to Coast show should be monstrous next Thursday night, Friday morning, 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. in the morning, in case you guys are going to be up listening to that. Not too bad East Coast time, West Coast time, because it starts at 10 o'clock and it goes until midnight. That's actually pretty reasonable. I wish I was on the West Coast to do the show instead of having to stay up from 1 until 3 in the evening. So, but again, healthmasters.com. We have a free newsletter you can sign up with, and we got the best supplements in the world. Interesting article from Zero Hedge. Former Fed employee avoids jail, gets a $2,000 slap on the wrist for stealing Federal Reserve secrets on behalf of Goldman Sachs. I don't think he was stealing anything. I think they were giving it to him on behalf of the Goldman Sachs. That's why he got a little fine and didn't go to any jail time. Goldman Sachs is the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is the Treasury. It all happened in 1934 with the Exchange Stability Fund. That's what happened. This, let me read this to you. One of the biggest scandals at the end of 2014 was the dramatic confirmation, courtesy of 48 hours of declassified tapes by former New York Fed staffer Carmen Segarra, that not only Goldman Sachs controls the New York State Fed, which we already knew that, Goldman Sachs manager directing Bill Dudley, but that disturbingly one of Goldman Sachs then employees, former New York Fed regulator, then 25-year-old Rohit Bansal, was routinely being provided with confidential New York Fed information documents. It's the same company. As Reuters reports, Jason Cross was the latest former banker to make a mockery of the U.S. judicial system when he was spared prison and slapped on the wrist. It's Wednesday, disappointing prosecutors who said of his leaking of confidential documents to a friend at Goldman Sachs Group justified time behind bars. No, it didn't. They're the same company. It said Gross, 37, was fined $2,000 as a slap on the wrist by the U.S. Magistrate Judge Gabriel Gorenstein, Manhattan, and sentenced to a year of probation with 200 hours of community service after pleading guilty to a misdemeanor charge of theft of government property. Whatever. I am shocked that he got charged $2,000. I'm surprised they didn't just let him go with a, you know, just don't do it again. You're being a bad boy, and let him walk away, Austin. What a joke. I mean, the Federal Reserve is owned by Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs owns the Federal Reserve. They both own and operate the Treasury of the United States as of 1934 with the Exchange Stability Fund. It's a joke. The whole thing's a joke. It's a Ponzi scheme. The United States went bankrupt in 1933. Franklin Delano Roosevelt declared the United States was bankruptcy. That it was insolvent. He had to have the gold seized from the population of the United States. That gold was put into an account. It was inflated by almost 40%. They gave a $3 billion windfall of money that went into the Exchange Stability Fund. That is the shadow government that has been openly running the United States government and Treasury for the past 85 years. This is what these low-life people did from the Federal Reserve Bank when they brought their little nonsense in 1913. Within 20 years, they owned the United States because of debt. We started off as the largest creditor country in the world. We had so few debts, and now we've turned into the largest debtor country in the world. We owe trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and hundreds of trillions in derivative debt to all these different countries around the world. And Austin, it's about time for the Ponzi scheme to collapse. It's about time for the globalists to go ahead and do the full-blown takeover of the United States, no holes barred. They're not even trying to sugarcoat it anymore right now with this communist revolution they're trying to instigate because of Donald Trump. What do you think?
Well, that's the thing. They're using Donald Trump as basically the excuse to try to get all these people involved in this type of hooliganism. This is the best word for it. Can you hear me? My phone's cutting out a little bit.
Heard you a little bit, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. That's exactly what they're doing. They're using him as an excuse, and also, too, they're extremely scared of him because of what he's promoting. And one last article, this is a health article on Aqua Bounty. I found this the other day. U.S. biotech company Aqua Bounty. There we go. Aqua Bounty, the one that's making the GMO salmon, has been ordered to pay the maximum possible fine for multiple violations of environmental law in its GMO salmon growing operation in Panama. Now, the reason why I found out one of the main reasons they did this in Panama is because Panama has very, very low fines, even their maximum penalty. We know Aqua Bounty now has been unwilling and basically unable to follow basic rules and regulations, even though the FDA has completely approved it now for human consumption. Last year, the Panamanian National Environmental Authority ruled that Aqua Bounty had violated a wide range of environmental safety rules, including failure to secure the proper water use and discharge permits. The violations were brought to the government's attention by national environmental group Centro de Incendia Ambatia, Environmental Advocacy Center is what it stands for. We are of the opinion that Aqua Bounty has repeatedly violated the mentioned environmental regulations and leveling a fine of $9,500. This is just shy of the maximum $10,000 maximum fine permitted by Panamanian law. And what's interesting, this is the latest news to the, you know, long-standing accusations that Aqua Bounty has not been following the laws as far as what they do. They have a remote location out there in Panama, so they can't get any serious scrutiny. And we know that there's all kinds of health issues, all kinds of problems they've already encountered with these fish. They have already had issues with them getting out now down there, from what I've read. This is going to be a fiasco if these fish get out in the wild, considering the fact that they grow 2 to 3 times as fast as natural salmon. But now I know why they picked Panama to do this in, because Panama basically has hardly any regulations, and their fines are abysmal when it comes to actually enforcing laws.
Wow. Fox News debate is canceled as Trump and then Kasich have withdrawn. I'm so happy that Trump did this. He didn't want to do any more debates. He kind of got pushed into it after the election the other night, and now he's saying basically he's too busy to do these. And if Donald Trump went back on Fox News after what they did to him, Austin, I would really doubt his ability to lead the United States of America, to step back into a noose and put his head in it twice, to be a strap back down into the guillotine again. Read what it says. WSJ, Fox executive, says there needs to be more than one participant. Plans to hold a 13th Republican debate next week on Rabbled Wednesday after two of the three candidates still in the race signaled they would not participate, leading Fox News to announce the event's cancellation. Donald Trump, the overwhelming leader in the delegate race, said Wednesday he would skip Monday's debate schedule in Utah in order to address a conference of prominent pro-Israel advocacy group. Later on Wednesday morning, a senior aide to Ohio Governor Kasich said, whose campaign took on a new energy the night before with a primary victory in his home state, said the candidate would bow out of the debate if Mr. Trump did not attend. So, yes, it's going to be big-time Trump. Roger Stone says Trump will sweep the next state races, and I hope he's absolutely right. It's close to impossible now for Trump not to get this nomination unless we have so much more hanky-panky going on. Hi, guys, I hear the music playing. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for supporting HealthMasters.com. We've got all kinds of specials going on right now. You go to the website and look for them. And we just appreciate you listening. And thank you for making us part of your afternoon. Austin, go ahead and say something.
Yep. You guys have a blessed night, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Love you guys. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.